and for the strength of America, and he has served in Afghanistan. He knows what the lay of the land is like. Before I give you any opinions of mine, Congressman Banks, your take on what you heard the president saying or not saying just now.
Well, Pat, I'm still processing his comments and the pure lack of substance, the pure lack of accountability for him and anyone on his team, as what's going on in Afghanistan is directly a result of the negligence and incompetence of this president and all of those around him. And so far, no one has been held accountable for what's going on there. And right now, every focus, all of our resources need to be trained on how do we get every American out, thousands who are still trapped behind enemy lines, and the impossibility of doing that because of the train wreck situation that these guys have created on the ground there is going to prevent them from being able to accomplish that. So I don't know how they're going to get it done without sending in more troops to clear a base, regain Bagram Airfield or another base in the area to evacuate these Americans. It appears at this point like as if the president is fully willing to abandon Americans behind enemy lines. I can't believe that we have a commander-in-chief who would do that.
Let me ask you this, because it sounds like, you know, however many troops it takes to send them back in to do whatever. We had 2,500 there. Mike Pompeo was asked. He had said, we went from 15,000 to 2,500 troops. We still had order in Afghanistan. That's almost triple that number of American forces on the ground now. There's complete chaos. So when someone asks, could you have maintained this? My response is, for 6 months after the agreement was signed, we didn't have a single American killed. We didn't have a single Taliban attack on an American. That's what Mike Pompeo said. So now, for lack of a better way to say it, Congressman, and I'm struggling here, he's now saying, well, we're going to sit down and talk and we're going to assess and we'll send in whatever we need to get our people out and all that. We were in control. Again,
yes.
You don't take the military out first, Congressman. You go and you tell all your people, everybody get to the airport, and then we're booking out.
Yeah, none of this makes any sense. I mean, whoever made the decision to vacate the Bagram airfield. By the way, Pat, when I served there, I was on the headquarters base in Kabul. I spent a lot of time at the Kabul airport, which is in the news today, and we did a lot of missions up to the Bagram airfield and missions in the Kabul area. And what you have to recognize here is that this, when they closed the Bagram airfield, they gave up a strategic position that would have been really important over the last week to evacuate Americans. So that's one fact. But furthermore, when they over the last week, when they announced that we're going to fly plane loads of Afghans with a priority on them and any American who can get to the airport, that creates a chaotic situation outside of a very small airport.
Mm-hmm.
Today we heard one of the attacks was at the at a hotel, the Baron Hotel, which I spent a little bit of time there. It's sort of a contractor village where a lot of Americans, American contractors and civilians were sleeping at night and then working, you know, kind of living there and then working at the airbase, the airport, and the base next to it. I could picture these areas because it wasn't that long ago that I was there. But if you take Afghanistan aside, if you announce in any third world country and around the world that America is going to come in and airlift thousands of people out of it, you would create a dynamic just like this one where a million people would show up and create a target-rich environment for a group like ISIS-K to strike.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. The stupidity and incompetence of this administration is what caused this, and it's unthinkable and it's unforgivable.
I was struggling with trying to follow him. There were a couple of times when he got into the whole thing about, you know, struggling with somebody because of cancer of the brain and all that. And I'm like, does he understand what it is we're talking about here? It was lost on me. And I'm not always the sharpest knife in the drawer, but usually I can follow along fairly well. But he left me. I mean, he just left me there for a little bit. To where John and I kind of looked at each other, and it's like, what language is he talking?
Yeah, we already know this president lacks the leadership ability, but over the last week plus, Pat, we've also learned that he lacks the pure competence to remain as the commander in chief, and that's so clear to all of us right now. But right now, our focus is on getting Americans out from behind enemy lines. I don't have the confidence that this president and his team could do that. And the fact that what I had hoped he would say behind the camera tonight was that he was replacing his team. He was putting new leaders in charge who could get this done and take some responsibility and hold these generals, hold these secretaries accountable for what's going on there, and replace them people who can get it done. And that the fact that that's not what he's done just tells you this president is going to continue to fail. The situation is going to get worse. I pray that I'm wrong, but it's going to continue to get worse because of the incompetence of this president.
Did you have a chance to hear? I've heard from a couple of sources. I'm not in D.C. You are. That there were some on his leadership team, primarily military leaders, that when he was making up his mind that pulling out the way he did was how he was going to do it, that they did everything but stand up on the table and scream, begging him not to do it like this, and he did it anyway. What is the position? First of all, do you know any of that to be true? Have you heard that?
I have heard that, and I've heard that specifically from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, not from him, but by reports that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley, advised the president against this prior to the pullout a month ago. So, but the fact that General Milley has not resigned to restore his honor, because he is the leader of the military and the leader of the military actions that have occurred over the last month, or that Joe Biden hasn't fired him to replace him with a different chair of the Joint Chiefs,
yeah,
who can lead the military forward, tells you that these guys are just not being held accountable, that are responsible for this entire mess. But, Pat, I do want to talk about ISIS-K. I mean, this is a lot of people are focused on the Taliban taking over the country, but ISIS-K has taken responsibility for these attacks predictably this morning. And ISIS-K is the most dangerous, the most trained, sophisticated part of ISIS. They've been building up there for a few years. I mean, this is something that those of us on the Armed Services Committee have been briefed on. The last time I was in Afghanistan leading a group of congressmen there a few years ago, the generals were explaining this threat to us. This isn't new. The president knew ISIS-K was building up there. The president and his team knew that they were going to strike and attack when the time was right. I'll tell you, ISIS-K was waiting for a time like this. They were waiting for a president like Joe Biden to create a chaotic environment and situation that they could take advantage of for the right time to strike, and that's exactly what they did this morning.
You know, when we think of Afghanistan, when we think of the Taliban, we think these are guys that walk in sand and live in caves, like, you know, there's some kind of a lesser light or something. Well, they may not have all the technological advances always that we have here, but they're not stupid. You know, they do know how to get around us. In fact, if I were Joe Biden, I think I would be highly and completely embarrassed that these people who live in the sand so quickly and so easily made their way around me.
Yes. There is a distinction, though. It's important to make this distinction between the Taliban and ISIS-K and even al-Qaeda. So the Taliban is, you know, they're a terrorist group, but more like a political party that's trying to take over the government, and they use terrorist tactics to do that. I mean, ISIS-K wants something very different than that. In fact, ISIS-K competes with the Taliban. They hate the Taliban. They fight with each other. ISIS-K will blow up groups of Afghans and other Muslims in the country who don't agree with their philosophy and their objective, which isn't the country of Afghanistan. It's the Khorasan Muslim region that they're trying to build this caliphate and build a larger presence. So, and they'll use very lethal means to do it. And Pat, we know that ISIS-K wants to harm America. They want to harm and kill Americans. And they look for situations like this. In fact, in testimony in 2019 before the Armed Services Committee, I questioned our military leaders then. They predicted that what happened this morning would happen if it was allowed to happen and we retreated and created this sort of environment and situation in Afghanistan. So ISIS-K is only going to continue to build. They're emboldened, and they're the most dangerous enemy, and they pose a direct and real threat to the mainland. We spent the last 20 years over there keeping these activities there so we didn't have to fight them here. And now we've backtracked. We've gone back in time to September 10th, 2001, before the attack, the deadly attack on 9/11. We've gone backwards to a time before that in just days, and it's all because of Joe Biden's incompetence.
I just received an email, I say just a few minutes ago, from a listener. Pat asked Mr. Banks if he will ask for a 9/11 commission investigation into the Afghanistan disaster. Do you think that this is the kind of thing that if we're going to examine everything else with everything else in the government, that we certainly need to examine this, and it needs to be an official commission?
Without a doubt. And when we get the majority back in the midterm election, which I'm so confident is going to happen because these Democrats have failed our country, not just the president, but the Democrats in Congress as well. I mean, by the way, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, a week ago, says she supported President Biden's plan and that it's the plan has gone the way that they wanted it
yep.
to.
Yep.
The fact that she hasn't called to hold the president and his team accountable tells you that these Democrats are in on it. They support it. They support this mess.
Yeah, and, it's unbelievable. She said yesterday morning, I trust his judgment.
We need to provide that type of accountability and oversight, a 9/11 type commission that would study the decisions that led up to the deadly attack today, the deadliest attack in Afghanistan in over a decade, Pat. And I'm telling you, we're hearing about unconfirmed reports that this is a lot worse than what's reached the U.S. media at this point. I hope that's not true, but there are reports of even more lives that have been lost and more blood that's been shed. I hope I'm wrong and pray I'm wrong, but this is only going to get worse because this administration is wholly incapable of preventing it.
Congressman, thank you for being with us today, for your flexibility. I know things up there are going absolutely nuts, but I knew that you would want to speak to the people here in the third to let them know your assessment of all that's happened through this whole incredible day. Thank you so very much, Congressman Banks. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Pat.
Podcasts by Federated Media.